This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
I don't know. It'd be interesting, but there's a lot of good games. There's good Zelda games. Now they have the new 3DS has SNES games.
I just want to play Pokemon.
Come on, we got to go. We're talking about the show.
All right.
Pre-show.
I clap, son.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 99 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
All right, lots to talk about. We're going to jump right in so we don't sit here for an hour and a half like we normally do. So the NES has been re-released, I think, for $60. What? Yes, the classic edition.
American dollars?
American dollars. Hmm. And I think it comes with, I want to say, 30 games. We got Zelda, Tecmo Bowl, the Super Mario Brothers, Pac-Man, Ninja Gaiden, tons of good games on there.
Zelda Windwalker?
Yes.
Yeah. They recreated it.
Twilight Princess? Which one is it?
Yeah, all of them. They're all on there.
It's just Zelda.
It's a mini version of the NES. And it's
very small.
Yeah.
It's like as big as some people's hands.
It is. It does have HDMI, which is interesting. So Sega's also getting remade, but it's in Brazil, I think, is like the one market. But it's the exact same Sega.
So how does that work?
I don't know how that works.
Well, no, I mean specifically the NES, right? Because... Do they add extra pixels to the game?
So
right, because if you just did the actual resolution, it'd be like the size of a cup on your screen.
Yeah.
So I've seen some videos of it. They do a lot of different things to keep it how it originally was. There are different modes you can put it in. So I think you can do widescreen, you can do 4:3, and then there's pixel perfect, which. I assume that's
like
part of
postage.
Oh no! So I assume that's just a direct upscale. They're not smoothing anything out, which I think is cool. They even keep in flicker effects, which you can't turn off.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because you realize some games that actually have serious flicker problems, which are kind of like at this point, you're like, I would actually rather not have it. Oh, sorry. The three mode CRT mode where they put the fake scan lines, you're just like, I guess. It's all basically emulated. There's just this custom board that they have it. They do some cool additions like their save states and stuff like that.
And sometimes you have to blow on it.
Well, yeah. That's actually the new feature. You have to blow on every game. The part where you normally put in the cartridges, that doesn't actually open because all of this is literally on the board. It's all soldered on, so you can't actually do it. But the power and reset button are actual buttons. And the controllers, while they hook in via, I think it's USB, so you can't use your original controller, but they look exactly the same and feel the exact same. And people were saying, like, they're glad they did it, but then you realize how small the original and annoying it is
because
it's squared off edges.
Like sharp.
It's basically the Switch controller just with other different buttons on it, less buttons.
Well, the other thing is apparently the cord is very short, and Nintendo has reportedly said it was intentional to keep players
close to
the TV.
And piss you off.
Because actually Nintendo controllers work like HDMI. The longer the cable is, you get that drop off. So the controller doesn't work.
You need a repeater. You need to buy a second NES to repeat.
I need
an analog
to lightning to NES. But it's kind of, one big complaint people have had is it's legitimately short, and while as a kid you may have played close to the TV, now it's very common to have 40 plus inch TVs. You do not want to be sitting unless you're Dave Linata, who you can find on our other podcast, Kiss Chris. So it's a little ridiculous, but I hear it works really well. Yeah, they don't upscale it. They're not, a lot of emulators you can do a lot of smoothing out effects to make it feel more modern. They're not doing that. I assume it's just direct, you know, multiples. But apparently it runs really well. It's exactly like it was. One thing is there's no expandable storage. So if they release another one with more games, you're going to have to buy another one. Like, I don't see.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any internet connectivity. It'd be kind of cool if there was like shared scoreboards or something.
Yeah.
Like if you play Donkey Kong and you want to see who
has. It'd just be nice to be able to add games.
It would definitely would be, but I guess, I don't know, it's $60.
$60. Just plug in a whole new system to play a new game, Rob. Yeah. Get over it. Yeah.
You have like four of the NES ones.
I'm so spoiled. Well, I am.
I guarantee you it won't take long for somebody to hack it to add games.
Yeah. Somebody made the joke. They're like, yeah, why don't you just hack it and put a Raspberry Pi inside? Yeah. It's like, I guess you could do that, but. Yeah.
Because it looks nice.
I mean, yeah, if you could emulate all this stuff, and I made this joke, I remember getting an emulator and I wanted to get ROMs, and like the entire NES collection was 4 megabytes or something ridiculous.
entire collection.
So they could do it very easily. But yeah, it's cool.
All right, moving on. So Razer put out a tweet after the MacBook Pro was announced with a picture of one of their Razer computer laptops saying, "You call yourself Pro, S my D." Which got a lot of backlash.
I wonder why.
Well, actually, it was interesting.
They're assholes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, when you look more closely at the tweet, it actually says -Trump. And, you know, if you're signed Trump, he actually put him out. So
they followed up with that tweet a little while later saying, "We apologize for the SD reader joke. To those who are offended, it was intended as a lighthearted turn of phrase that missed the mark." Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's just this is why we need diversity in technology, so you don't have like this same off color frat boy stupid mentality of, it's all the same. It's like the black face and yellow face in Snapchat. You fucking get more than just frat boy assholes on your staff.
I think the real thing to take away is Apple should have put a fucking SD card in there, so it wouldn't have led to people making these jokes.
That's what you get when you have diversity, apparently. you lose your SD card, so whatever. Next story, LastPass is now free to use on mobile devices. So they still have a premium account, and for listeners, if you are listening, anybody out there, LastPass is a password locker. So I use a password locker called Dashlane, and I've been trying to get these guys to use password lockers for a while now. And part of the problem was, as a premium feature, if you wanted to use it on more than one device, or sometimes it was, you could use it on any desktop device, but when you went to specifically mobile, it was a paid scenario.
Which,
so now LastPass is free on mobile.
Sorry, I totally interjected. Yeah. You can keep going and say, just it's crazy to think
you that. You gonna let me finish?
Let you finish. that limiting it to desktop is that big of a deal now. I mean, it's an obvious thing and it makes so much sense, but that is something you'd want to pay for, kind of thing. Whereas back in the day, who would care?
Yeah,
but
I actually had LastPass for the last year. There was a discount on it. I've been paying
my account.
I actually never really used it.
Huh? That's because you use the same password.
I have it all saved in Chrome anyway. So this was the thing I came into, where I save a lot in Chrome. The main advantage I would assume of these apps is that you can use it in other apps, right? You can use it stuff that Chrome can only do it on websites and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas LastPass, can it work in other apps? Can it?
They have to add it. They have to use. So they don't have to say specifically let LastPass or Dashlane or 1Password work with it, but they have to use the password whatever API in iOS, right? So some apps do that.
Okay.
So when it comes up to log in, you'll see like this little keyhole thing, and you tap on the keyhole, and then it just it'll fill in with Dashlane because it knows that I'm using it. Otherwise, I have to switch apps and open up Dashlane, copy and paste, which is not that bad.
In the browser,
they have an extension. So like in Safari, there's an extension. So I just do it within Safari. But for other apps, you just copy and paste.
I would really like that if it was in other apps, because I assume they have fingerprint support.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So there are definitely more and more apps, most apps support it, but there's occasionally they don't, and I would love, that's one little thing, it would be nice, and obviously Chrome can't save in other apps, so.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, other apps do support it, it's just they have to program that in. So of the many apps on my phone, only a couple support using password lockers, but there is an API for that.
A quick thing, so you're still using Dashlane?
Yeah.
Would you switch to LastPass since it's free? I mean, I don't know what the pro features are, but...
It would...
Like, do you like Dashlane enough, or does it just
I like
matter?
Dashlane well enough. I feel like they're upgrading their technology, and they've come out with some innovative stuff like before LastPass did. So I feel like they're going to... They'll probably lower their price, if not do something similar for some of their for the mobile thing, and then keep their premium features. So, but even if they don't, I'm okay with it. I'm okay paying for it.
I mean, yeah, you're supporting the developer, so there's nothing wrong with that. I do think it'll be cool if more people use it because of that. But anyway, moving on, PS4 Pro is actually out. So this is interesting because...
That Pro can S my D.
I don't own it, Josiah. No. I don't have it. It's been out for like 24 hours.
It hasn't shipped yet. That's the basic reason.
But you do have a nice new Surface Book there.
A nice used new Surface Book.
New used.
New used.
So the PS4 Pro is out. I think it's really interesting because we've heard a lot about it, but now it's in the hands of actual... Well, actually, I assume it's come out. I've seen reviews about it, so I'm only going to be talking about reviews because none of us own it. But there's a lot of confusion on what it can do and what it can't do. From a lot of the stuff I'm reading, it seems like you basically only want it if you have a 4K TV. There still aren't enough cool things if you have a 1080p TV. They are doing a lot of things. So this is the weird thing. There are a lot of different directions, and I think we talked about this, a lot of different directions they can go with the PS4 Pro. It's not like any game that supports PS4 Pro is automatically going to be upscaled to 4K or something like that. A lot of them are doing super sampling, which is, you know, if you render it at a higher res internally and then you output it at a lower resolution, and it's basically like really fancy anti-aliasing.
Frame rates is another thing.
But obviously, so there's always this choice of, okay, we either stick with 30 frames a second and add bells and whistles, or we go 60 frames a second. And so I watched the Digital Foundry video. If you don't know who they are, I think they're a branch of Eurogamer. They are fantastic about analyzing games at very technical levels. They look at frame rates. They always show frame drops and what resolution they're at, which for consoles is, funny enough, it's more difficult than you'd think to get that information because it's not like a PC where you can just, you know, turn on fraps. So it's very cool. They did a bunch of analyses. I only saw one video, but different games did different things. So... they showed, for example, super sampling, and it's one of those things where it's cool, but it's one of those things like, is it that cool? I kind of feel this way about ambient occlusion. So they showed, for example, in Tomb Raider, basically the buildings very far off in the distance, they were very jaggy, and this might not sound like it makes sense, but when you see it, you'll understand it's very shimmery, where you'll look around and there'll be that shimmer because it's anti-aliasing, or sorry, it's aliased. And none of that is present in the PS4.
It's just a trick of the horizon and the gas's presence in the atmosphere. It's not actually twinkling or shining.
Okay. It's actually, it's just all those people.
Yeah, that... it's a trick of the gases.
But so it definitely, I will say it looked better, but it's almost like when you see, you know how people are comparing phone cameras and, you know, okay, when you do it at 100% crop, you can totally tell the difference. But when everybody's putting on Facebook, it really looks the same.
Yeah.
This is, it felt like, I was like, okay, one big thing, they keep talking about HDR and they say this consistently, if you don't have an HDR screen, you can't see the difference. So I don't know, hopefully that'll be a big difference, but
yeah. Hashtag HDR thing.
One interesting thing, so they went hard on compatibility with PS4. So basically, if a game is not patched to work with the PS4, it'll run exactly like it is on the PS4. So, sorry, if it's not patched to work with the PS4 Pro. So you would think, like, if you have a beefier computer, maybe if they don't patch it, maybe it'll still just run at a better frame rate or something like that. But they decided it is literally just going to run exactly like the PS4 runs. So if it's 30 frames a second, unpatched, it's still going to be 30 frames. So it sounds like the reviews are saying if you have a 4K TV, it's probably worth it. I think it's a decent price point.
So as an upgrade?
No. What I've read is if you do not have a PlayStation, it's worth buying the Pro if you have an HDR TV and you have nothing right now.
Right.
I don't know.
But it doesn't make sense to upgrade.
So that's, so I was initially excited for it because I was hoping the majority of games would just look better. And I was also hoping PlayStation View might get a little faster and just better. And also, like, the other issue I've had with this PlayStation a lot is it's loud and it overheats a lot. Not to the point where it shuts off, but it's just very loud with the fans. And also, network connectivity is terrible on PlayStation. I don't know if it's PSN
or what, it is
but,
really
like,
bad.
It's just slow.
Like, Wi-Fi is so slow, and
even wired, it's still slow.
Which I assume is server-side, but I don't know. One other huge update, though. This might tilt the factor, tilt, like, your decision-making. you know, when you go into the library on the PS4, if you hold down like the down button, it'll scroll faster than it can load the images. Not a problem anymore. PS4's got that.
It's got the enough RAM to load the fucking menu. Yeah. That's awesome.
Jeff Gerstmann actually made the point. He's like, and he said the whole thing. He's like, this is so fucking stupid. But it's true. It does scroll at the right speed. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in the market for one and you have a 4K TV.
I do have a 4K TV and it's HDR, you know, compatible and stuff. And initially I was excited when they announced it, but honestly, like, more and more I'm leaning just playing everything on PC anyway.
And it's just
the
like,
only game I'm playing right now on PlayStation is FIFA. And Horizon Zero Dawn, is that on PC? I don't know.
No.
So that's probably the only game that's coming out that's I'll probably play in the
Last
next
Guardian.
6 months. I'm not
going to go. Uncharted. Because you're a terrible person. No. I would say outside of game exclusives, which is still an issue, PC, some minor other things. Like obviously you want to play where your friends are, and occasionally PC has frame rate issues and stuff. But aside from that, it's like, man, think about it. We talk constantly about backwards compatibility. That's not a thing on the PC. You just play it besides very old games. So, I don't know.
Sometimes you need to run DOSBox.
Yeah, that's true. But I will say one cool thing. GOG has done a good job with games. It's DOSBox built in, so it's a bit of a hack. Yeah. But, hey, it works. I mean, and who needs peripheral support or any modern support? Also, I want to talk, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later as well, but Overwatch, it's a video game. We're a little bit slow on this. We're a little
behind.
So maybe we should start. So Rob and I are playing this. We played it when the beta came out, and we both were like,
it's all right.
We played only versus AI, and we were idiots because we literally played one match, and that's how you don't learn anything about it.
We played
it.
One sample size.
Do we play on PS4?
Yes.
It was with a controller, right?
Wait, was it? I don't remember. Did they put it out for all systems? I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't remember. I think it was PS4.
Yeah.
But when we played versus the AI, it was too easy, and I don't think we didn't know any of the characters. And our mistake was that we just played one match and just threw it away. But everybody was hyping how good this game is. Every podcast I listen to, they're like, Overwatch is the best. But I was like, well, there's no demo, so I don't know. So I ended up trying Paladins. And I liked it a lot. I got Rob to try it. He liked it a lot. And
which is the same style game, but free to play.
Yeah. So it's free to play. And then, so there's this feeling like, you know, you play Paladins and then you get the real game once you really like it. So here's the thing, though. So there's a lot to tear into, but we don't want to get into all of it. But one thing that I immediately noticed, I was like, it's made by Hi-Rez Studios, Paladins. It's not, and this is going to sound really bad, but it's not a Chinese developer, which, you know, Chinese developers and manufacturers have been known to copy things. But Paladins feels like an exact clone of Overwatch down to a lot of the abilities and stuff. And now the polish clearly isn't there. Like the Overwatch is definitely a more technically better game. But recently on Reddit, the director of Hi-Rez Studios, or sorry, the president, he came out in defense saying, we actually had a lot of these skills in our older games. A lot of these skills are also in other games anyway. So we weren't copying. We just happened to come to the same conclusions. And it's honestly hard to tell because they were developing this game while Overwatch was in development as well. There's no way like in one day you can make this game.
Right. That's what I said when we first played it too. I was like, there's no way they could have come out with a clone this fast.
And Josiah and I were talking about this before. Like you made the good point of, you know, with abilities, you can't really copyright those. Or if you can, it's just too much effort to be able to copy the specific of it because there's probably built on something else.
Yeah.
And how do you bring up that kind of thing and actually properly defend it in the court of law?
Yeah, other than characters and design of characters and stuff like that, so specifically their names and their costumes and stuff, I don't think you can really, and their backstories maybe, you can't really like copyright anything, right? Because it's just going to be, you know, who invented the double jump, who invented the health bar, who invented points. All this stuff, you know, who invented wall running, and, you know, once one game has wall running, that means no other games can have wall running. So whether or not, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to it legally, but just culturally, like, game developers know that they build on top of other games. And so there's this mashup culture for games developers. So I think they know, like, it would be the nuclear option to start suing people for at least game mechanics. Definitely characters and IP stuff like that. You do want to be protective of. But yeah, I don't think people can get too bent out of shape for game mechanics. Like bullet time was in everything.
Yeah,
and you know RTS is like it's a genre. So when does it transcend and become a genre?
We have versus, the mouse click down
versus a game mechanic. So
I mean, I honestly think it was just coincidence that they have a Marine named Tim Gaynor and an assassin named Mariah Farragon. It's very unusual, but. I will say, playing both, Overwatch is definitely, I guess overall, the better game in some ways. I do think it's interesting. There's certain simple game mechanics in Paladins that are different enough that there are some things that I actually like in Paladins. Simple example, Overwatch has very complex maps, in my opinion, far more complex than Paladins. So there are a lot more entrances to things and stuff like that. Hmm. But interestingly enough, when you think of actually similar to like League of Legends, there's a lot of jungling, but there's basically a couple paths. Obviously, there are ways to gank people, but I guess so that would make it more similar to Overwatch. But what I wanted to say was that the simplicity of Paladins matches makes, in my opinion, teamwork more likely because everybody knows where everybody is. Hmm. So you kind of all come together. Whereas Overwatch, you can end up being solo pretty quickly because there's different places you can be on the map. I will say in Paladins, there was a lot more straightforward teamwork element that happened organically, whereas in Overwatch, it varied significantly. But and there are a couple other things. I think it is really weird how similar they are. And since Overwatch is so popular, my initial thought was Paladins clearly copied them. I don't know. Maybe there's copying going back and forth either way. For example, Sombra, the new character, is similar to a character that's already in Paladins. So... But apparently Paladins is doing really well. I think, Rob, you said like 3 to 5 million player something base like that, now, yeah. Which is pretty huge. Overwatch has done really well as well. So it's cool to see both of them doing good. And I just say good when I should have said well. It's if you want to play Overwatch and you don't have the money or you're not sure about it, I would say try Paladins. They're both... They're cool games.
I'm actually surprised that I got into this because, like you said, when we played the beta, like, it's just not the style of game that I usually
not at
like.
All.
I think the differentiator between this and like COD or something like that is the way they handle leaderboards and within the games themselves. So
and the abilities. It's so
different. But instead of saying like, oh, like clearly anytime I play like Battlefield or Call of Duty, I can clearly see I'm near the bottom. And like not contributing to the team and all this other stuff. But the way they handle contributions and kills and eliminations and stuff like that in Overwatch and Paladins, it always makes you feel like you're contributing and never makes you feel like, oh, I'm
absolutely
think they
made some recent changes to that. So, like, were those the things you're talking about now, were those in the beta?
For which? For Overwatch?
For Overwatch, yeah. The contributions and stuff. Because I still haven't played it. It's not available on Mac.
I think it was.
I vaguely recall hearing something like they overhauled how they do that. Recently.
It's possible, yeah.
And made it a lot more engaging and friendly to everybody.
Which is definitely cool. I mean, I don't want to get too off, but they have that one interesting thing about eliminations. That is literally, there's no kills and assists. If you assist, you're part of an elimination. So, which is normally happening. Normally, a lot of people are shooting at once. So, even if you're not the person who does all, gets the final shot, you count towards an elimination.
You can get an elimination if you're buffing a character.
I got an assist as a support. Healer.
As a support,
like,
you
on?
Can get elimination.
And I like that. It's similar to Titanfall. It is a cool idea. They essentially have, it's a hybrid mode where you play against humans, but they're also AI. And you kill the AI, and yeah, they're easy, but it kind of feels like you're doing something. I don't know if you remember this. It was in the original Titanfall, and it's also in Titanfall 2 as well.
Oh,
but
Titanfall,
they're like,
I remember. Yeah,
and some of them are more advanced robots that are AI, but they're like, they're grunts. They're cannon fodder, but it kind of feels like you're actually getting some kills, whereas
what's the other shooter that came out
that did that
around Overwatch? Yeah, it's like the same concept as
Paladins?
That
I don't know.
It's a first person shooter.
Oh, are we talking about the one that Gearbox put out? Battleborn. That was literally a first person MOBA,
right?
So they're you're saying because they had grunts and things like that. Yeah. But it's just cool. I like that they have things that make it easier to get into a game, and so far we've had fun with it. We're not amazing, and it was easy.
I've never felt discouraged because of my performance. It's always been like, oh, the team just sucked.
Yeah, you're totally right. You don't really know what your ranking is.
Yeah.
You really don't.
It's good.
So the final quick fire topic of the day, I want to talk about. So for, you know, all our American listeners, we recently had a presidential election. I bet no one else heard because the election results weren't that big of a deal. But I just want to talk about Google on voting day. So or on election day, whatever. They did a big push on their homepage and stuff to say to vote, how to register. And they made it really easy. Yeah. And I really liked it. Like, they up to the date, if you can click on it and you can type in your address and it'll just tell you all the information, how to do it. And they had it was pretty straightforward. If you have, like I do in Google Maps, you have your home listed, it'll already do that. I mean, it already has location data, so it can figure some of that out on its own.
And then it just votes for you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Sergey Brin wins in a landslide. But so I thought it was really cool on voting day itself. You could click on a thing. It showed everybody who's going to be on your ballot where you need to vote. Hmm. And it was just a simple thing. It just made it really easy. You just go on the homepage and it says it. And like I said, it alerts you how to register. It's just, to me, it's a cool use of technology. I think it's a smart, simple thing. It wasn't obtrusive. It was like a small thing in the corner. But I don't know. I liked it and I definitely used it. And I would use it again.
Nice.
Would you vote for it?
Maybe. I upvoted it a couple times. Okay. But then they realized you can only upvote once, and then I got banned, and now Trump is president. God. So, moving into our first official topic of the day. So this is still ongoing, so it's still kind of current. But there was recently a SAG after strike. So I do not actually know what that acronym stands for. I know SAG is Screen Actors Guild. I don't know what after stands for. But basically, it is voice actors for video games are on strike because they did some renegotiations for their union, which is SAG-AFTRA, wanted to negotiate certain specifics to their contracts, and, you know, people are fighting back. So I don't know all the specific details. The basic things that came out of it, my understanding was, one big thing they wanted were limits on recording sessions and how they're paid for those recording sessions.
What do you mean limits on recording?
So the length of time. So basically their voice is their most important product. And while you might be able to type for 8 hours a day, a voice actor can't talk for 8 hours a day. And people chimed in saying, you know, for example, if you do, so I guess a typical block of time is 4 hours. And something along the lines of they want to shorten it to 2 hours and change the way it's paid. Some opponents of this are saying that voice actors want to do a 2-hour block and be paid for 4 hours, but I don't want to get in all the nitty-gritty of that. But it's important. So some voice actors were talking about, you know, like, you know, you sit there and try to do call outs, which are like just one word phrases, or that doesn't make sense, one word or a short phrase. Yeah. Like if it's, you know, for StarCraft, it's like over here, like Rainer here.
Job's ready.
Yeah, you do that for 4 hours, it is going to destroy your throat.
I'll volunteer.
Well, just get it right the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
One take. Done.
Mass Effect did that thing where I think you like sent in lines for their new game. Like,
oh,
you
really?
Could be like a, you know, random NPC, like a shop owner or something like that. So you had to read the lines and they pick somebody based off of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I should have done it.
Are you gonna do, what's that? Goat's cheese or something?
What?
From what was it, Divinity?
Oh yeah.
Cheap. Goat cheese or something. I don't know.
Someone sold cheese. It was funny.
Yeah, I want to exclusively record the stuff where on RTS games, when you click too many times and they start getting pissed off at you.
Yeah.
Only record that. That's all I'm there for. But the more interesting thing about this was, so obviously unions, typically they want to get more money for the people they represent.
Because they're greedy. All unions are stupid.
And I think the thing that was most divisive was the idea of royalties. So a lot of one thing, and I, like I said, I don't know the exact specifics, but some idea that royalties, if a game sells in excess of something, they would get royalties. Like, for example, games like Grand Theft Auto, they make billions of dollars. They want royalties on this. And so this became a huge controversy because royalties are a big deal in any of the major entertainment industries. And you can look up Hollywood accounting. There's a lot of complex things with that. Royalties, one huge thing is it could be a continuous source of revenue. And since a lot of voice actors are getting work sporadically because you're literally working on a single game, a thing I did not know, which seems insane to me, apparently, aside from, like, you know, the really big voice actors like Jennifer Hale and who's a guy who did like he was Booker DeWitt. Joel McHale. But anyway, so aside from the big name actors, a lot of voice actors aren't even told what video game they're actually doing the voice acting work, which seems insane because I thought the whole idea of acting is you kind of get into character. And also, this is a littler thing, but you know, some people might be against the video game that they're doing the VO work for. Like if they had to do VO work for that Hatred game, remember that game that came out?
Troy Baker.
So that's a big deal. But developers who are saying like, you know, we don't get royalties, so why should you? And it turns into this thing. So one thing, voice actors say, you know, we're getting paid per session, whereas you're getting a salary. But the bigger question, and this is where it gets really divisive, is whose work is most valuable?
Yeah. And why are you coming? What are you coming to see?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the same thing, right? Like, you know, the actors, do actors get royalties from movies?
It depends on your contract. So some people, like bigger actors, they want a percentage of net or gross.
Okay.
And they can get that. But obviously smaller actors, I doubt.
Yeah.
But developers don't.
But the counter argument they would say, I would assume, is that you're getting continuous salary. And I think the only reason why this argument even means anything is I think voice acting has become more and more important.
Yes, absolutely.
I think, you know, as particularly like growing up, I mean, most games were text games. And developers, and actually, so I've read this stuff and it's kind of getting vitriolic where you have developers kind of saying voice acting isn't worth anything. And then voice actors saying we're the most important thing in the game, where clearly it's somewhere in the middle. I will say, like, so many games, especially big RPGs, Witcher, I mean, Grand Theft Auto in many ways is an RPG. You have games like that where, yeah, there is literally life that is put into these characters.
Skyrim would not be Skyrim if I did not know that guy was an adventurer until he took an arrow.
Marvel Puzzle Quest,
all of BioWare games, Bethesda games, voice acting is really, even indie games, you know, Zelda. You think about BioShock Infinite, it's not an indie game, but how much those tapes and stuff are. I do think, and I will definitely say, good voice acting makes a difference. In my opinion, I'm turning more and more sour on, I think Bethesda games like Fallout and stuff. Playing those games, some of the voice acting to me feels pretty generic. But anyway.
Well, that's because they weren't told what story
exactly. By the way, if you want to know, anybody who's played Fallout 3, or if you haven't played Fallout 3, look up Doc Church on YouTube, and you're like, this just doesn't feel right. But it's really this question of, and the royalty thing is a little more confusing, and I think there's a fair point to be had saying, well, you know what, if you think you're deserving of royalties, maybe your union, and developers don't really have, they don't have a union. So it's like, maybe, you know, this is the union fighting. At the end of the day, the purpose of a union is to do best for its constituents. So if they're fighting for royalties, it's because they want to get as much money for their actors as possible. Outside of this bigger argument of whether or not it makes sense. Like, they're arguing for their own best interests, so that's why they're arguing, not necessarily that they think they're better than developers. But do you think, like, at this point, like, you definitely can't have a video game without gameplay. You can have a video game without voice acting. But do you think at this point it's getting to the point, I mean, literally, yes, it would be impossible to have a video game without a developer, but it's getting to the point where it's close enough where you think, like, maybe it's a, I don't know, 60-40 or 70-30 in favor of the developers, as opposed to back in the day where, you know, like 90-10, like, you just...
Well, I mean, so you look at it and you just say, like, where's the money coming from? Like, it's not taking money potentially out of developers' hands.
Yeah.
Right? It's going back to the publisher.
Yes.
Right? So if they can afford to pay these actors, then they should do it. It's unfortunate that, you know, you have this argument between developers and actors, because that's missing the point, right? It's, do you want to pay for talent, and what are the norms and expectations for payment for that sector? It's to make a game, it's a very much interdisciplinary thing, right? Like, it's the only thing that comes close to it and maybe surpasses it is movies, right? Because movies, you got catering, you got the makeup people, the best boy with the props and all this stuff, and like,
and then everybody
all these
the scenes,
other things that you never notice in the movie that are required to make the movie, and they have they have guilds or unions too, right? And so all that stuff, it's just what's the norm for those people to get paid. I wouldn't expect the person who's doing props to get royalties, but that's not the norm for them, right? So it is normal for some performers, not all, but some performers to get royalties. And you think about, well, why do they get royalties? It could be for a number of reasons. Like you said, one is because they do these like short gigs, right? It's not a steady line of work necessarily, except for some of the really top people. But
imagine if they got a per click on StarCraft. Right here.
Yeah. Just keep clicking SCVs. But yeah, it's I get it. I can empathize. I don't know what they're on average pulling in and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's a free market, so it'll sort itself out, right?
Well, that's the interesting thing about the pay. I mean, this is clearly something in the entertainment industry, which is separate from the games industry in its own way. In that you have people, like I said, Jennifer Hale and Troy Baker, who can pull in lots of money. And then on the other hand, since game budgets are ballooning, you have publishers that can pay for a Kevin Spacey. I mean, you remember Oblivion had Patrick Stewart. I feel like he was on the earlier end. And you have those kinds of people, they can probably get some huge deal. But people who are doing smaller things, apparently there's something like it's $700 a session. This is where
I would do it for free. If BioWare wants to put me in a game, or Blizzard wants to put me in a game, no, but I would do it for free.
Well, okay, we're putting it out here. If you need the comment is
Mass Effect team,
you're one of those scabs, the union breaking scabs that crosses the line.
They're gonna have the new like Shepard and the Reaper, and Shepard's gonna be like, I hate you. I hope you never win against us. We shall kill you all. Like all this terrible voice acting because it's all crowdsourced.
Hey, it's got to be better than Doc Church. So fuck.
I think
you don't know my skills.
I think it's an interesting thing because there's acting versus salaries.
Acting. Thank you. I am an actor.
There are some people who are clearly getting paid more than the developers, but I don't see developers unionizing anytime soon. But it'll be interesting. I don't actually know how long the strike is going to last. I think it's still ongoing, and it's been talked about for a long time, like over a year they've been talking about this. So I don't know if this is going to affect any games in the near future. I would think so. And also, this is not related to this whole debate, but if you want to see a really cool video, I don't know, this leads into our topic later, but at BlizzCon, there was a voice actor who found out all the other Overwatch voice actors, and he made a video of them all talking in their Overwatch voices. It's really cool, because you just hear them, and you get to see them, and if you can, look it up on YouTube. It went viral. It's really cool.
So, I don't know. I think it's confusing, though, because a few years back when the screenwriters went on strike, this maybe 8 years ago now.
Jeez.
You could tell because it was like right in the middle of seasons.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have all the seasons written and you could see it immediately. But games development, you're talking 4-5 years on some of these AAA titles. So like,
that's a good point.
You know, there's a lot of time. I'm not saying it's super easy and you can wait to the last month before you record all the audio. Clearly you want to do it in parallel rather than all at the end. But
I've heard that happens sometimes where they rewrite it. And I mean,
it's going to be weird because you could say, well, leave it to the power of the purse, right? So if people buy the games or they don't buy the games, but it's just such a long time before some of these games come out that, you know, I don't think people will be able to make an informed decision based on and purchase accordingly until afterwards.
5 years in the future, not going to buy.
They're not going to say on GameSpot or Kotaku, like, I would have given this a 10, but they changed the voice actor from from series 1 to series 2, so don't buy it.
Yeah, actually, so a lot of these publishers have already opened up pre-orders for games 5 years in the future, so they're not going to pre-order anymore. And also,
I mean, it would be weird, like, you know, Andromeda, Mass Effect Andromeda has all these promo videos now, these trailers, but what if they didn't finish the game? So that, like, halfway through, the voice changes. And it's kind of like that Bruce Lee movie where he died, and yeah. like
oh, really?
Halfway through the movie, it's a totally different guy. It's yeah. so bad.
I mean, Destiny is sort of parallel, but not really. They just re-recorded everything. Oh, they swapped everything.
Out Dinklebot.
Dinklebot. Another thing, yeah, that's another key. This is to any big union, especially when you're doing in the entertainment industry. If Jennifer Hale and Troy Baker, apparently those are the only two voice actors I know because I've referenced them three times. But if they stand up and say they're going to boycott it, that could make a difference because yeah. the little guys. I will say, though, conspiracy theory, there's no Assassin's Creed game this year. It was SAG-AFTRA.
Oh, wow.
They needed yeah. Ezio 3,
yeah.
and they just didn't have anybody. Yeah. Jennifer Hale wasn't ready.
Not in the mood for cheese.
That's what See, it is. I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to go. Sign me up check, for cheese check your vendor for the new Rob. Divinity game. That's
check
right.
Check your voicemail. They're calling now.
Let's move on to the change up brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist website and clicking on the banner. So in honor of the new little NES re-release here, the change up is, what was your favorite NES game?
Oh, wait, before we say this. So NES, the system that came after the NES, how do you pronounce it? Not super, it's Super Nintendo, but the short form.
SNES.
It's not
SNES.
What did you say?
SNES.
Yeah. People say SNES. I think that's so weird. SNES? A lot of people say SNES, apparently. No. Anyway, keep going.
They're Show wrong. Them to me and I'll punch them in the face.
SNES.
So I didn't own an NES.
You have like brass knuckles to say SNES.
I didn't own an NES. Sean did.
Yeah.
So most of the NES I played was over his house.
It's before your time and you and Josiah, you youngins.
I was a Sega man. I was a Sega kid. Anyway, so I always had to be anti-establishment in the games industry. I always had to buy like
Sega was pretty popular back then.
I've always been on the losing team. Sega, Microsoft. Anyway, so one game that I don't know if it's like my favorite to play, but it's the one that I have the most memories of. Oh, and it's me and Sean playing Battletoads.
Battle fucking Toads.
Because so I hard. Think that what is it? The third level.
Third mission. Yep.
The third level. You have those jet ski things with the walls that come flying at
was
you.
That was SNES, though.
No, that was NES.
I still have it.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to play it after. Yeah. Wow.
We've played that game probably 50 times throughout our lives of 30 years, and we've never gotten past that level. Although I think one time we used codes to like actually get past it, like as kids, we just would play it.
No, because you need a Game Genie back then. I don't know. Did the Konami code work?
Or maybe we used the emulator.
Well, no. So, yeah, I figured out the trick. You use an emulator, and you constantly save and reload. Yeah. And by the way, that's one of the hardest levels in the game, but it's not. Like, there are other missions that are like, almost as hard.
There's 10,
a surfing
right?
one after. I finally beat it, I think, in like COD. That's what I was doing. Yeah. I was so cool. I got an emulator, and I would either slow the game down or save it ridiculous amounts of times, and
wow,
I eventually beat the game.
Bullet time back.
yeah. It's crazy, though. Like, it is such a hard game. But, man, those first two levels are really fun.
They were, yeah.
So for me, I think I'm going to have to go with, I mean, Battletoads is one of them. I'm struggling. Like, there's one of a couple games. I think, okay, it's either Codename Viper or Star Tropics. Star Tropics.
Was that what? The one you had to go in the, you had to time the ship?
No, that was Captain Skyhawk. Oh my God, there's so many.
How do you forget
games.
Captain Skyhawk?
Captain Skyhawk was pretty baller. And there's a way you could do a
Did
barrel
you play
roll.
That?
Yeah.
Captain Skyhawk, I don't know. At the end of the level, you had to time your ship going into like the
time your shit?
Ship. Yeah. The ship to go into the hangar. But the hangar would rotate and you had to time it so that your ship
so
went
difficult.
In. Who designed that?
It was
a terrible thing.
Actually, that was like a precursor, I feel like, to Star Fox, because you played other missions where it was like that. You're flying forward, kind of like Afterburner.
I'm pretty sure No Man's Sky actually has the exact same.
Yeah, they actually have that technology. So Star Tropics was an RPG, and you used a yo-yo to kill things. So that went up.
Yeah.
And then Codename Viper was just, you shot things. These are all games. Well, Star Tropics, I never got past a certain part. And later in life, I just YouTubed the ending of the game. Captain Skyhawk, did I beat that one? I know Codename Viper, I eventually got it on an emulator and I beat it that way, because that game, I think I could get to the last
games
level.
Games were a lot harder back then.
Yeah.
They were a lot, because that's how you padded it out. You just made it impossible
yeah.
to win.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned Konami code. I played a ton of Contra, and I knew
Contra.
That code. I knew that code. I did not own my own NES.
He stole it.
Because... it's because back in the day, my dad was like, he was pushing us towards computers, ironically. Like, he was not against games. He just wanted us to have a computer rather than...
He was PC Master Race before.
Exactly. Like, with Commodore 128, right? So played a lot of Contra. Never played Zelda because that's kind of it's a longer sit and play game, and you couldn't really just come over and play Zelda with somebody. Did play a lot of Mega Man, played original Metal Gear.
Oh, really?
And Tetris, obviously, pretty amazing. But I'm going to mix it up for you and say Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble. So I never played that, but I was watching videos of the NES Classic and they played it. I'm like, this actually looks like it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Bubble Bobble. One other quick fun fact. So the NES, that's the name of it in the US. The one before it in Japan was called Famicom.
Yeah.
Do you know what that stands for? I didn't know this.
Family Computer.
I never knew that.
If I could only have told my dad, Dad, it's a computer. It's a family computer. For God's sakes, just buy it.
For God's sakes.
We have a family. You want a computer?
I had to pay for my SNES out of my own pocket. I mean, well, obviously my income was my dad, but I didn't have allowance. I didn't even know what the word was, right? I had to think about it. I did not have allowance.
I am allowed to study.
I had to paint the house.
Nice.
And like my brother was supposed to paint the house with me, and halfway through he's like, fuck this, I'm out. So he was like, it was in summer and he was just playing with his friends, and I painted the whole fucking house myself.
Jesus.
And that's what he said, probably, I don't want.
And then you never let him play the damn system.
I think I was 12 or some shit like that. I had to like get on the roof and paint the chimney. Fucking hell. I don't know. Like, my dad should be in jail for all of this stuff.
He actually, I remember him saying, because I was there, and he's like, I don't want to play fucking SNES. And then he decided to punch him in the face. And
that SNES, damn you. All right, last topic here. I want to talk about this little thing. It's kind of this little pocket convention now.
I think it's every year now?
Yeah, it's gaining in popularity. I think they have enough people attending so they can do it every year. It's called BlizzCon.
It's actually a meteorology conference. Yeah, where they talk
Blizzard
about
convention.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about BlizzCon. Did you guys do anything for BlizzCon? Obviously, we didn't go, but did you watch anything?
I dressed up at home and watched it. Now.
Oh, damn it. That's what I was going to say. I actually watched a good chunk. I had nothing to do that weekend, so I actually watched a good chunk of the StarCraft finals. So they had Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, StarCraft 2, Hearthstone, and Overwatch.
They should do Rock and Roll Racing one year. Just bring it back.
Oh, man.
I think it was Blizzard.
It was Blizzard. Yeah, that's anyway, crazy. I'm going to propose that.
I hope they bring that back into Heroes. Have some rock and roll.
Oh,
racers.
My gosh. Yeah, they really dig deep. That would be cool.
Anyway, so I watched a lot of StarCraft, a little bit of Hearthstone, and I started watching Overwatch, and that's actually what prompted me to eventually buy it, and then we ended up playing that. We talked about that. So anyway, did you guys watch anything?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you can always buy the pass, but the pass apparently is for the
for the
actual convention stuff, like the panels and the and the cosplay contests and stuff like that. So I was looking at that, and then I just realized that all the esports were free.
Yeah,
I think last year, like the finals were not free. I think
it could be.
I
don't
forget
think I
exactly.
watched it live last year.
Maybe that was League, but either way, I started watching. Just because of the timing, I was watching stuff live. On that Friday when it became available, I started watching Overwatch because the stuff I really wanted to watch wasn't on yet, and I can't do it. Like I didn't know any of the characters, and I just don't play first-person shooters that much anyway. So not knowing the characters and the powers that they had, not knowing the maps and the objectives that were supposed to go on, and sometimes they do first-person view and they jump from one player to the next.
Yep.
And
it's
then
a hard game to follow,
and then also then they do like third-person camera view and stuff like that every once in a while. I just could not follow it.
Yeah.
So. And it's kind of, since you're popping abilities so often, in things like League and Dota, there's usually, like, there's a lot of going back and forth killing grunts or minions or whatever, and then there's, like, one moment where there's, like, the pentakill and everybody's
team. Yeah, fight, yeah.
In Overwatch, it's happening so constantly, because your abilities, the cooldown is, like, you know, a couple seconds or something, so you're just seeing shit going everywhere all the time, and it's hard to keep track of.
I also wanted to talk about South Korean dominance.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Blizzard was made by South Korea and just like placed there. They're like, yeah, we don't know. It's just, you know.
But yeah, the Chinese have hacking, like that's their where you go into. Yeah. In Korea, you go into Blizzard programs.
So I mean, StarCraft has always been dominated by South Koreans. So the finals were between two South Koreans, Byun and Dark. Zerg versus Protoss.
Byun.
You watched the finals, right?
I did, yeah.
You didn't watch any of it, Sean? So there was a couple moments where just the shit that they can do is absolutely mind-blowing. Like, the amount of microing that they're doing. There's one point where he had four simultaneous attacks while building a secondary army to come in. Like, four different points on the map.
And he was doing his homework because he's under 18 and he has to...
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It was amazing to watch.
And the guy who won, so I watched all the matches from what is it, quarterfinals? So best when you have eight people.
Yep.
Yeah, so quarterfinal. I watched all the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then finals. And like the guy who was playing who didn't win, he demolished people. Like he was a Zerg player.
Dark, and he
tore through people, but he did play non-Koreans. And so you're kind of like, maybe he's good, maybe he's not. And I mean, he did a pretty good job, but Byun, he just was fierce, this guy. And the crazy thing, like his claim to fame, like Rob said, he was doing this four-pronged attack, but I think a lot of people can do that, like, you know, send your troops here, send your troops here, that's do your macros, APM's whatever. But the main thing that this guy was known for was fucking micro.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was insane.
In battles,
he would take one unit and
he'd kite,
and, like kite people and or you know a couple armies, but they had this special ability and it was fucking nuts.
Yeah,
it's just insane. It's
incredible. Some of my favorite things are marine splits when banelings come, and the way, so if you don't know, banelings do splash damage and marines don't have very much health, so a baneling can take out a ton of marines at once. So what you do is you do a marine split where you separate all your marines out, so if a baneling hits, it's, by the way, a baneling also it kills itself.
Yeah.
So it's a one shot. So if you split your marines up, it can only kill one marine at a time. And people are so fast. Like, it's insane how they can do that and manage their base. I mean, none of us are really good StarCraft players, but you really understand and realize how difficult it is when you play. Like, I've tried, you know, as a Terran, you try drops where you send a couple marines behind the enemy lines and to get them off guard, but I do that and all of a sudden all their forces have killed my base because I'm like focusing.
Right,
it's insane.
But I mean, this guy with Byun with his micro, like, he might as well have been playing a MOBA. Like, he could have been playing Heroes with one unit. But it just so happened at the same time he was managing four bases and doing two attacks, plus microing this one guy, because he was effectively just using powers of one creature, one unit against a whole army. It was insane.
Like, I genuinely believe if we played a pro player, typically in these games, unlike say MOBAs or something like that, if you have more units, it gives you the advantage. But I genuinely think the way these guys micro, I could start with a massive army and still get destroyed
Sure.
And also their timings. It's like 4 minutes they have their tech all the way built up. I'm like, I don't know how it's literally possible to build things that fast, but it's crazy. Yeah.
Also, DeepMind announced that recently had the computer that beat the championship Go player announced that they are working on having some kind of game against some top StarCraft players, which would be,
I wonder what its APM is going to be, because it could be like,
well, no, actually they're limiting the APM, so that that is forcing it to come up with strategies and tactics, which I thought was kind of interesting. But Koreans, South Koreans, basically the
basically
same thing.
I just
let it out of the bag. My bad.
They're all robots.
I am South Korean, and my mother's South Korean, and so I'm half Korean, but I did not get that StarCraft gene from my mother, apparently. But so they not only did they own StarCraft, but apparently they own Heroes of the Storm, too. I don't remember any Korean teams last year in Heroes of the Storm. Maybe I thought I watched until the finals, but I don't remember anybody. Like, it was Team Liquid, it was Dignitas, it was Fnatic, it was Evil Geniuses. I don't remember any Korean teams, but this year Fnatic went to the finals and played, what was it? Not MVP. It was...
Ballistics.
Ballistics, yeah. And that's a Korean team. And I think they split 3-1. So they I think they won... They lost the first game, won the second game. Fnatic, of course. I'm just talking like...
Yeah.
The non-South Koreans. And then they got swept away. So... pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good games. And Fnatic, they had to beat a Korean team to get there to the finals, and they won 3-1 against that Korean team MVP, and they were looking really hot. Like, they did some amazing plays, but Ballistic just came to work and they did their job.
And it's the same thing. Like, there was a big deal when Neeb, who's an American, won the KESPA Cup. I think it was this year.
Yeah.
And he was the first first foreigner, well, foreign to Korea, to win a tournament in a StarCraft tournament in 16 years or something like that. There are reports saying that Blizzard, on their next game, they're going to delay localization just to give us a head start. Just be like, no, you don't get a version.
Yeah.
Also,
and that's actually who Dark, who was in the finals, beat in his first match.
He
demolished him. Like, because you know they trump him up as like the great white hope.
He really is. And yeah. Like, and then he's like, done. Nope. And then one other quick thing, is it all translated names? It seems like every single Korean player has a, like, they feel like names that are in English characters or something like that, and they sound like they could, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I don't
like
think Dark, there's any norm. But, I mean, like, Byun,
that's his name. And then there probably are a lot of people like that.
But, yeah, like, Pult. Yeah, that's a very Korean name.
Yeah.
But, a lot of Koreans learn English very early. Not to say they're all fluent in English, but they start learning English very early on in their school system. So
okay, I get it. They're smarter than us.
One or two words as their made up name is fine. Yeah.
So then also there was Overwatch, with South Korea not only swept. So Overwatch being new this year, they didn't have traditional teams like you saw in the other one. They had countries competing against each other, so it was a World Cup of sorts, which I thought was kind of cool.
They actually did call it World Cup, right?
They did, yes, that's right. Overwatch World Cup. So
is it already corrupt? Because anything called World Cup, I've heard FIFA.
So South Korea not only swept, they won every single game. They won, I'm pretty sure, every single map. I'm pretty sure
they never died. Yeah, actually,
they didn't lose a map the entire tournament, which is ridiculous.
It is just absolutely insane how much better. And the thing is, FPS games are typically the domain of, and it's weird that this split happens, but of non-Korean. Like, I remember growing up with competitive Quake, and it was always dominated by a lot of Americans, but there were also Europeans. And I assume because there's abilities and stuff involved. I don't know. It's insane. There's just calculations done in your head or something to figure everything out. The other cool thing that they announced was something called Overwatch League. And it's Blizzard's approach to esports. And there are a lot of little things about it, but a couple cool things that came out of it were, so this is, like I said, they're putting their foot forward on this esports league, and they're doing a couple things differently. One thing, teams in this league are going to be regional. Mm-hmm. The idea being, make it similar to, quote, actual sports. You know, you might follow the Boston Red Sox or the Chicago Cubs or something like that.
The Chicago Clickers, Sean.
So the idea is you get regional teams. So you support who you're nearby. Like, if you're in California, you support your California team. Apparently,
the Fresno FPSs. I'm good at this.
Fresno's per second. I read somewhere, which I didn't know this, apparently a lot of esports teams in America are based in LA, so it doesn't make sense. So you're gonna have to build these new teams. I don't know.
Why not Connecticut, Sean? Yeah,
okay. We'll finally have
So Josiah and I were talking about this. I'm not sure. So if they're in a region, do they have to live there?
I don't know. Well,
like, are there actually going to be there?
Because you could just be on the internet.
Are there going to be actual, like, live matches where you go to, like,
not a stadium.
I believe
something
so.
Where you go and watch?
I think they'll do common LAN matches. Cool. So this is the other big step, which I think is really cool, to more legitimize it. Typically, the way it's all competitive, like in a lot of sports, so you play, like, say, tennis, for example, you get winnings. Same thing with golf. Like, you win tournaments, that's how you get money, outside of endorsements and stuff. In this, they're going to a salary model. So anybody who's in this league gets a salary, and they get benefits as well. They're really trying to legitimize this as, as a real thing. And so I think that's why, because you're getting paid a salary, they're going to be required. I think they have LAN matches that they play, and I think people can watch. I don't know who their partners are. I don't know if there's going to be bars locally or something like that, and maybe you can televise some. I hope there's no blackout rules already, but...
I mean, it sounds really cool, but I think obviously more details are needed, right? Because you can't just afford to pay a salary to any team that wants to pop up, right? Like, it's going to have to regionalize after a while. Like, you can't have Manchester, Connecticut, and Hartford, Connecticut, and New Haven, Connecticut. Well, like, it'll just regionalize to Boston or something.
Well, so that's the thing. So there is it's regionalized in that way because Blizzard, it's like the NFL, they're building teams. There's also a thing called a combine which is just like the NFL
like
combine
idea,
where you try out. So I'm pretty sure they're building the teams and
people apply
to get in. So there wouldn't be a Manchester and Hartford because they wouldn't make a team there. They would just make a Boston.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Right? Like, at least for salaried people, like, you could probably, you know, they're gonna go up in the ranks and then you go to the combine or whatever and try to get drafted or something to your regional team, but you know, you can't afford to pay people in every city that wants.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. I don't know how many teams are.
It's
gonna
all
come
like
out
the last Starfighter, man. Like, you guys weren't born when that movie came out. It's the last Starfighter, or it's what's the guy's name again? Eddie. The guy who wrote Ready Player One, Eddie Griffin, and no, not Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin.
Edward. Anyhow, his second book called Armada. It's
Ernest Cline.
Ernest Cline. I knew it.
Eddie for short.
Yeah. Ernie. That's what he. It's basically Last Starfighter all over again. This idea that you use video games to find that really talented guy. And then you make them fight a war for you. It's the same thing. Ender's Game. It's all the same.
South Korea all of a sudden builds all these mechs.
Yeah,
I think
they've been piloting droids, drones in a space war for the last 10 years. They've saved the planet so many times, South Korea. You guys
all
just don't
Zerg
know.
Are real
you
thing.
Just don't know.
Well, it's funny because Paul actually missed the South Korean, the StarCraft finals because he had to go into the mandatory military service. And that's what we were joking about. It's like, he's really just going to use drones to attack North Korea or something like that. Yeah.
So one other thing to wrap this up, one interesting thing, they haven't announced this or anything, but I could see this in the future. One thing I like is that, like you were talking about, a lot of these tournaments are getting bigger and bigger, but they're usually free. They're partnering, like ESPN is showing them, but I could see a situation now that there are more and more things where you buy the channel, like Rob, you have PlayStation View, there's Sling, there's Netflix and stuff. I could see a situation in which you buy an esports package and you get access to everything. Like, this could be how much esports is growing, and they're like NBA owners buying esports teams. I could see that becoming a real thing. And I don't know. I mean, ESPN covers, they have like six channels and it's sports 24 hours a day. I could see at least one channel.
The owner of the 76ers.
Yeah. They're actually two owners.
Like,
I think.
Team Liquid or
something.
Some
of the
Evil Geniuses or something. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're coming up on the end of the year, and we talked about our prediction show and stuff like that. So that was one of my things of this would be the year for esports, or I was hoping that this would be the year for esports. I think it's gotten better. Definitely, it's gotten better. I mean, we'll wrap it up in that show, but it's not quite where I was hoping it would be.
Once our parents know what zealots are, it's like, oh, did you see that zealot rush the other day?
The Hartford Hackers.
Got him! Mic drop, I got my team.
Manchester Mousepad.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Store. You can find us on YouTube by searching for The Commentist. Please share us with your friends. You can leave comments and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. Also, be sure to go to thecommentist.com where you can see all of our great podcasts, such as
The Unwind, Kiss the Crest,
Roll the Hit,
Bearded Vegans,
There's some prayer hands emojis on there.
Yeah. Check it out. We'll see you next week.
Continuous improvement.
Did you guys hear that there's a new Nintendo out? Nintendo just came out with Nintendo.